Proverbs 2 and verse 12. Proverbs 2:12. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, and from the man that speaketh froward things. So this is a continuation of thought from verse 11. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. And here's what it's going to keep you and preserve you from. One of the things. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. So here Solomon gives us a specific example of the preserving influence of getting wisdom. He says, discretion shall deliver us from the way of the evil man. So, you know the drill. We like to define all the words, or most of them anyway. By the time we get through Proverbs, we will probably have defined literally thousands of words, I would say. So it'll deliver thee, it says. To deliver is to set free, liberate, release, rescue, save. Now, especially to set free from restraint, imminent danger, annoyance, trouble, or evil generally. So when you deliver somebody, you set them free. But this is also like a... So in a way, you're setting them free, and then in another way, you're saving them by setting them free. And deliver does mean save. And we can see that, and we've looked at this before, but in Acts 2:21, and I'll just quote the pertinent part of it, Peter is preaching there, and he says, and he's quoting Joel, and he says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said in Acts 2:21. Then if you go to Joel 2:32, he said, in the same passage Peter's quoting, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Okay, so when we put the two verses together, we say, oh, to be saved is to be delivered. Right? They're synonyms of each other. It means they words that mean the same thing. So thus, wisdom and discretion will save an obedient Christian from the manner of the wicked, right? Because that's what he said, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. In other words, to save you from the way of the evil man. So not just the evil man, but from his way. Because, you know, an evil man could harm you. I mean, he himself could harm you, and we want to be saved from that. But we also want to be saved from his way, because we don't want to end up emulating that way and walking in that way, right? And this is especially important today, because the wicked are all over the place. And the thing is, today, you know, in previous generations, you pretty much had to physically be within eye distance of an evil man to see his way and see how he's living and what he's doing. You got to hear him speaking or see what he does, see him womanizing or see him drinking excessively or something like that, or see him, you know, being violent with somebody or whatever. And, you know, you could, if you lived out in the country, chances are your kids would be pretty well sheltered from the way of the evil man. Not today. It's in our houses. It's in our pockets, right? It's everywhere. All you have to do is just pull up the internet, right? So you can see the way of the evil man anywhere at any time. That's why you got to be really careful with your kids and what you let them see, because the TV and the phone and the computers and all that stuff, you can expose your children and yourselves, ourselves, to stuff that previous generations would have probably never seen. They'd have been totally sheltered from it, and now it's wide out there in the open, the most horrible things that you can imagine. But discretion, what we're learning about here, will preserve us from that way of the evil man, even in the age of the internet, if we're careful. Now, the salvation under consideration here is obviously not eternal salvation, it's temporal salvation, right? Because remember, to deliver means to save, so to deliver thee from the way of the evil man is to save thee from the way of the evil man. And just the context here will clearly show we're not talking about eternal salvation, right? We're talking about temporal salvation. Temporal meaning in this life, in this time, in this world, right? As opposed to something that is eternal. Okay, so let's look at that way of the evil man. So we're promised to be, if we get wisdom, we're promised to be delivered from that way. And so let's see what an evil man is. So evil is the antithesis, means the complete opposite, the antithesis of good in all its principal senses. Morally depraved, bad, wicked, or vicious. That's a pretty good definition of evil, I would say. So somebody is just really bad, just really morally despicable and wicked. That's an evil man, okay? And we should pray to be delivered from such. Now look at Psalm 140 and verse 1. I'm going to give you a few verses here. I mean, what did Jesus teach us? So I'm going to get there, but Matthew 6 and verse 13, what is the famous Lord's Prayer, right? Deliver us from evil. Didn't he tell us that? Right? So this is something that we ought to be praying for. Psalm 140 and verse 1. It says, this is David, deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man. And see, doesn't that fit well with the definition? The evil man is a violent man. Remember, evil is vicious. Right? So David, a man after God's own heart, king of Israel, right? An incredible man in many respects, and yet still prays that God delivers him from the evil man, right? So if David prayed that, we certainly ought to. And we're given this example by the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 2. So I know I pray for evangelism quite often in public and in private. And I know that some of you have told me that you do too. But don't forget about this. When you pray for evangelism, tack on to that prayer, Lord, we want you to bring people to us, but we also want you to keep people away from us. Because there are certain people we don't want brought to us, right? Because there are wicked, evil people out there that we don't want in this church. Good 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 2. I don't want numbers for the sake of numbers. And my paycheck depends on it, and I still don't want numbers for the sake of numbers. Keep them out, right? I'd rather be poor with a good church than wealthy with a church full of goats or something. So anyway, 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 2. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. So he's praying for evangelism here. I want the word of the Lord to have free course. Let it go forth and let nothing hinder it, and let God's children hear it and let them be brought in. And then look what he adds on to that, verse 2. And that we may be delivered or saved from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. You know, not all men have faith. That's just a fact. In fact, most of them don't, for that matter. It's just hard to figure it out in this country because just about everybody claims to be a believer in Christ or whatever because that's what they grew up being told. But anyway, we're supposed to be delivered from two different types of people here, unreasonable and wicked men. So the wicked men are obvious, right? When you find a wicked man, that's clear. We don't want them to be coming in. But you know what? Unreasonable. We don't want unreasonable people either. We don't want people that are incapable of reasoning, for one thing. If you can't reason and you can't think at all, then you're probably not going to be able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But we also don't want people that are unreasonable in the sense that you can't reason with them, right? They're just hard-headed. They know everything. They can't be taught anything. We don't want that kind of people, right? We want people that have the faith of like a little child, that are meekly receiving the truth, right? And that's why we're all here, because that's how we received the truth, right? We received it with meekness. We didn't like, oh, I'll tell you, I know everything. You can't teach me anything. If we'd have been like that, we wouldn't be here. So we want to be delivered from such people. It's funny. I mean, I guess and Arminianism just skews your whole worldview and your everything. And I mean, if you're an Arminian, could you really pray, or would you want to pray to be delivered from certain men? I mean, it's like Arminians, like, bring in the wicked. We want to get them saved. We're like, keep them out. We don't want to bring them in. I mean, if they're repentant, that's different. But if they're repentant, they're not wicked, right? So
they almost skin the sheep to cover the goats with the sheepskin.
Yeah, right. They do. They fleece the sheep, all right. Yeah. That's right. I mean, sometimes when you see a little woolly creature coming in, you kind of have to peel it back and just make sure it's not a wolf that's covered up, you know, trying to make himself look like a sheep. So we're told in Proverbs 17:11 that an evil man seeketh only rebellion. So here's a reason why we wanted to be delivered from the way of the evil man, because this is certainly not a characteristic that any of us want to inherit. Proverbs 17 and verse 11. It says, an evil man seeketh only rebellion, therefore a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. And we're told in Proverbs 29:6 that in the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare, right? So he can catch you. If you're not paying attention, you know, a snare is a trap. I mentioned that the other day. And if you're not paying attention, the way of the evil man can creep up on you and catch you and end up ensnaring you. Like Paul said, that servant of the Lord must be gentle, apt to teach in meekness, instructing them that oppose themselves. If God peradventure give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may be able to recover themselves from the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I think it is. Or 2 Timothy chapter 2. But anyway, end of the chapter. People are taken captive, like they're snared, right, by Satan. And so it's my job to try to recover them from there, help them recover themselves from that, if God would give them repentance. But we want to stay far away from the evil man, because as we read there in Proverbs 17:11, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him, right? He seeks only rebellion, and a cruel messenger is going to come to him, and we don't want to be anywhere near whenever that happens. And it says in Proverbs 24 and verse 20 that the candle of the wicked shall be put out. Proverbs 24 and verse 20. There shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. That's a way of saying that he's going to die, right? The Lord is going to judge him. So we certainly don't want to adopt his ways and end up being partakers of his punishment, do we? And then he says, the end of Proverbs 2:12, from the man that speaketh froward things. So this is another thing that discretion shall preserve us and keep us and save us from, is from the man that speaketh froward things. And this is really defining for us, or giving us an example of how we can know what an evil man is. Because sometimes evil men aren't recognized, or they're not easily recognizable, right? I mean, some people can really, they can look pretty good, right? And they can talk a good talk. But if you pay attention, they will tip you off to what they are. And this is why we want to be, you know, vigilant and circumspect and paying attention. So here's one of the defining characteristics of an evil man. They speak froward things, right? This is one of the characteristics. Froward means disposed to go counter to what is demanded or what is reasonable, perverse, difficult to deal with, hard to please, refractory, ungovernable. Also, in a wider sense, bad, evilly disposed, naughty, the opposite of toward. Of things, it is adverse, unfavorable, untoward, difficult to deal with, refractory. So it's interesting here, when you see the definition, it says that a froward person is goes counter to what is demanded or what is reasonable. Well, remember what Paul told us to pray for, to be delivered from unreasonable men, right? And remember what the definition of an or what Proverbs, 17:11 told us about the evil man, that he seeketh only rebellion, right? And he seeks rebellion, right? Rebellion, what is rebellion? But going against what you're told to do, right? What you're supposed to do. And froward really fits right in with that. His speech is perverse, difficult to deal with, hard to please, refractory, ungovernable. In other words, he's a rebellious person. His speech just drips with rebellion. He doesn't want to be told anything. He doesn't want to follow any orders or any rules, right? You want to stay away from that kind of a guy. Now, of course, there's a time to resist. You know, when somebody has no authority over you and they're trying to tell you what to do or something, there's a time when you can just say, hey, bug off. You know, but when somebody in a legitimate position of authority tells you to do something, then you should do it, right? And to not do it is rebellion. And Saul told Samuel, no, that was totally wrong. Samuel told Saul that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry in 1 Samuel 15. So, froward speech is the man that is just hard to get along with, basically. When you find a man that's difficult to deal with, especially when it comes to communication, you found an evil man. You find a guy where you just try to talk to him and he's just hard-headed, he's just defiant, he won't listen to anybody, and he's just going to tell you how it is, and he's going to tell this guy off, and he's going to... That's an evil man, right? That's what we're told here. Hard to please, speaks wickedly, any of those things. When you find somebody like that, you found an evil man. You can tell a lot about a person by how they talk and what they say. Jesus taught that a wicked heart of an evil man will be made manifest by what comes out of his mouth. Look at Luke 6 and verse 45. Luke 6:45. And especially when he doesn't think anybody's listening. You can tell a lot about somebody's character by what they do when nobody's watching. Or when they think nobody's watching. If the person does the right thing when nobody's watching, that's a good man. If the person thinks nobody's watching and he cuts corners or does wickedly, that's not a good man. Luke 6 and verse 45 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh." So, whenever you hear a man speaking evil things, you know what's in his heart? Evil things, right? If he's speaking about evil things, he's got an evil heart. That's why we all want to guard our tongues. James said it's a world of iniquity, an unruly evil, he said. I believe that's what he said. James 3 and verse 8 says, "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." So like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, which we won't go there, but he said you'll know them by their fruits, right? So whenever you hear or see evil being done by somebody, you can kind of figure what's in their heart. Here's the thing. Pay close attention to a man's words, because if you do, he will tell you what he is. And when he tells you what he is, believe him and then avoid him. This is something I learned from Pastor Boffy. I never forgot that. He said that in a sermon. People will tell you who they are. And when they tell you, believe them. They'll let it out. You just got to pay attention. Proverbs 4 and verse 14. "And when you find out, then you want to avoid such a person." It says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away." So whenever you find that evil man, steer clear of him, stay away from him. We don't want to be friends with that. It says that make no friendship with an angry man, lest thou learn his ways, and it become a snare to thee. So next time we'll pick up with Proverbs 2 and verse 13.